beginning to read at verse 18. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail for Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and travelled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ.
So this morning, it's the Apollos approach. Sally said to me at the start of the service, I'd never heard of Apollos. So it's something a little bit unusual for us this morning. And one of the things I want to ask you as we listen to God's word is, what would be your summary? I want you to think, what would be your summary of what is the Apollos approach? And I'm suggesting that one way would be to say that we should encourage each other. Last week, in fact, actually not last week, but last year, because last week's message Pastor gave us was a follow-on from a message he gave a year ago. And a year ago he said, sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says it's the wrong way, don't pursue it. Sometimes he says it's a good way, but it's not the best, there's something better. Sometimes he says it's the right way, but not now. But of course, the real message last week was, and we need to really get hold of it, sometimes God says yes. And oh God, help us to hear when you're saying yes. Because there's times when we're disappointed that God hasn't said yes to something that we want to do, but we can be so busy not hearing what he wants us to do and the things that he's saying yes to us. And I hope we're all going to hear God saying, yes, that's what I want doing. That's my priority. And one of the things that does come out from a study of the situation between what was the state in Old Testament times and certainly in the times of the early church, they were much more working together. They were group-oriented. Today, for one reason or another, and I'm sure it's the enemy that partly does it, we tend to be more and more individualistic. We don't get together, we don't work, and yet, of course, we can be so much stronger. We read right in the beginning, to start us off from God's word, that when God made the world, time and time again, it says, and God saw that it was good. And when he speaks of the last day, he says it was very good. So God made a good creation. But notice, God also said at the end, when he looked and saw that man was alone, it was not good for man to be alone. And so God made a helper for him. And that was God's plan right from the beginning, man and woman working together. And I don't need to tell you that the enemy of us has done his best over the past years, and we've all seen it over the past years, to separate man and woman. One way or another, he keeps trying to keep them apart, because our real strength lies in man and woman working together. I'm afraid the other sex are still somewhat of a mystery to me, and no doubt you ladies would say, well, yes, we find you men, although you seem to understand us more than we understand you. But we need to work together, and that's the starting point. Not only man and woman working together, but they generate a family, and the family works together, and the family works with other families. One of the things that really surprises me from God's word is that later on, God looked down. Man had already sinned and wickedness was increasing. But the people were getting together to do evil. And God himself was worried what they would do by working together if he didn't stop them. And God's word tells us that God actually confused the language to stop them talking to each other, so that they wouldn't do evil. And that's a real lesson to us, that if doing evil benefits from working together, how much more should we, as God's people, work together that we might achieve what God's want? Together we'll achieve so much more than we will do individually. I was thinking of the examples of teams working together. And if you're not a football fan, and I'm not exactly a football fan myself, but at least we can all acknowledge that there's a group of men that have worked together recently, our English football team. We're perhaps a little disappointed that they haven't done better, but we've patted ourselves on the back that at least by working together, they've done better than they've done for a long time. And we've also consoled ourselves that they're fairly young. They haven't worked together too much. So come on, in a few years' time, what much better can they do? But teamwork. And probably, I think I heard one of the commenters say, well, we could have done better and we lost because the other people were a better team than us. Well, let's not say we're going to lose because the others were better. Let's be the best team working for God that we can. We've of course had the National Health Service celebrating 70 years, and you will know they do have their problems, but they work together. One of the things that impressed me when I went for an operation was how they all had their task to do, the different experts, and they all worked together to achieve the end result. Working together is the thing. Of course, we've got an extremely good example, or should I say bad example, when we look at the Conservative Party and the Labour Party. They're not working together, and that's what we need. In fact, I have to admire the Prime Minister, Theresa May. There's so many different possibilities and so many different ideas, and I'm really admiring her for what she's doing to try and bring them together. It's not easy. And she's not necessarily bringing them together what she thinks best. She's trying to get them all to work as one. And it's something we've got to do. We can't be in half the time, or half of us in and half of us out. We've got to make a decision. It's got to be brought together. It's got to work as one. But then, of course, there was this other example that is probably the best of all. And Duncan mentioned it in the prayers. There's a football team that probably nobody had ever heard of except a few local people in the north of Thailand until a few weeks ago. And that football team got lost with their coach. They were doing something that they thought would be relaxing and enjoyable, a little bit of a challenge for them. But then they passed the point of no return. Fortunately, they were wise enough not to stay where they were, else they would have drowned, but they went further into the cave and found a safe place. And there's the plot. I ought to express my thanks to the Times for all the illustrations that will help us with this. But it was a real problem where they were and that they were lost. There's some of the Thai Navy SEALs who were searching these caves because they were waterlogged now. The rain had come early and caused the floods. There's a big notice, I understand, just outside the caves to say, danger, in big red letters. Don't go in the caves in July to September with the rainy season. There's a great danger. But it was June when they went in. But of course, this time the rains came early. And these men, they tried, they had experienced divers, but they couldn't find them. So they had to call some extra help. They actually called these British divers, John Stanton and John Valanthan. John on the right is the one that actually found his way through them. He's spent much time working in caves, in water and that. And it was a real challenge to find the way to it. And then at least we were so relieved when he said, how many of them are you? We're all 13 here. So at least we'd found them. But that was only the start. The start was finding them. The big task was getting them out. And you probably remember that there was a suggestion that they might have to stay there for 4 months. But they realised afterwards that that wasn't workable. But there was various possibilities. So they needed a doctor. A doctor who was also a caveman. So they went to Australia, and apparently this Australian doctor was just about to go on his holiday. What was his holiday? He was going caving. So there was other plans. He was going caving, but for a different purpose. So I want to bring that point home that, you know, sometimes we think, oh, this evangelism thing, I don't really like it. It's not my thing. I'd rather be doing something else. But at least if you're patient, my experience is, yes, there are some times you have to do things that you wouldn't normally do or come out of your comfort zone. But basically, God calls us to work in the area of our expertise, and it can be enjoyable. There is joy, as the old chorus says, in serving Jesus. And we get that illustration from this doctor. The sad thing is, of course, that while he was doing this, his father died. So there's a tinge of sadness in all this. And yes, there is some sacrifice that we need to make. About 1,000 workers were trying to penetrate, drilling a hole. You remember the miners that were rescued? That was a team effort. And they were looking to see if there was any way of getting in. But in order to get drilling equipment to this remote part, there were just no roads to get the drilling equipment there. So, but that was a way. And I want us to see how all means were used to make sure that they were saved. The flood water was a problem, so some people went to where they thought the flood water was getting into the caves and did their best to divert it, to reduce it. And maybe they did help. Certainly the fact that the water level was kept down was a big help. Of course, they took, there's one of the large water pumps. They had a number of these that were working. And even when one stopped working, the level was starting rising dangerously. So they were concerned. So there was those with others. Other people were gathering supplies. Other people were praying. Now, don't minimise the power of prayer. We prayed when we first heard about it. We've prayed just and given thanks, and I'm sure thousands of people all over the world, there's a great power in prayer. And here is somebody, that retired petty officer Saman Coonan. He decided he would go and help, and the sad thing is he lost his life. He didn't get back in time. His air ran out. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But it does remind us that Jesus gave his life to rescue us. He laid down his life, suffered and died and bore our sin. And because he did that, we should be ready even to give our lives. All the people that were involved, more so perhaps the divers than any others, they were in danger. And this illustrates it very well. There was a danger. Don't say, oh, I'm a bit uncomfortable doing that. Let's be ready to do whatever God asks us, that we might rescue those that are lost. And there's the boys in hospital. Just bringing them out wasn't the end of the story. And just bringing people to Jesus Christ is only the beginning. It's not the end of us bringing them to salvation. There's a lot that we need to do, and there's a lot that needs to be done. But they had some good news, you probably know. They've been invited to Manchester United next year. So not only have they been rescued from the darkness and the misery and brought back into this life, and one of them's going to have his birthday party that he missed and nice food and all the rest, but they're going to heaven. They couldn't believe it. They thought it was a joke, but it's a genuine invitation that they're going to come all the way from Thailand next year to Manchester United. They're going to be given VIP treatment. They're going to watch a game. Why, heaven itself. And yet, the good news we've got is that we're not just saving people from the problems and the sin and the consequences of it, but we're saving them to something even better. So they've been rescued. Our task, actually, is much harder. The Bible is made up of a lot of stories that we use, and I trust this modern story has helped you to see, just as Jesus used everyday stories to illustrate the gospel message. I hope that's helped us to understand. But sometimes we can see a contrast as well as a comparison. First notice, there was a few of them needing rescued and lots of them to rescue. Our problem is much harder. There's only a few of us and there's a lot need rescuing. And then the next problem is, most of them don't know they need rescuing. At least these boys were so relieved when they saw him. They'd been without food. I remember our boys when they were young. My wife used to tear her hair out. They'd come home hungry and they'd empty the fridge and she'd say, "Where's that cheese gone?" or whatever it is. And they'd eaten it and that was today's meal. Boys have a terrific appetite, and how those boys survived all those days without food, I don't know. But they knew they needed rescuing. Sadly, a lot of people don't realise. And in fact, they are in greater jeopardy than those boys. You might think those boys were in a grave situation, but if we are without Christ, we are without hope in the world. And the awful consequences of sin will affect us, not only in this life, but even more so in the life to come. And there was nobody stopping them. I understand that they did give offerings to the gods that they believed, the gods of rain, to persuade them. They normally give offerings to the gods to persuade them to send the rain. But on this occasion, they were saying, "Well, would you mind delaying it a bit? Because we'd rather not have any rain just at the moment until we've got the boys out." But it's true that in our situation, Satan and his demons are our enemies. I've already referred to the fact that he is trying to keep man and woman apart, to bring division and stop us working together. And there's no doubt about it, we're in a battle. We don't just have to rescue them, but as we sang in one of the choruses, we need to put on the full armour of God that we might be able to release those that are in need. So, that was actually something that came upon me in the last few days. I've been studying this sermon for weeks and I'd got a much more detailed exegetical approach to bring to you. But the Lord really spoke to me to say, no, use that illustration. And I hope it helps you. But let's see. You see, these people were skilled, different skills, divers, medical skills, people that were organising things and being supplies, drivers and all the rest. And they'll need some further skills for those young men. They'll be scarred for life because of this experience. Thank God that the message that we give is God makes us new creations. Do we realise what a great message we've got? God says it doesn't matter about the past. I will make you completely new. It takes time. But this is something we need to understand, and we need to be skilled in our own way. Not all the same, but different ones. But fortunately, we've got this book, which is God's instruction for us, and we need to get to know it well. We've already seen, those of you that came along to the church members meeting, that the pastor, now here's the pastor to me, he's got a pretty good knowledge of God's word, but the Baptist Union have considered what he knows. And they said, well, yes, that's very good, and you're doing a great job, but you need to know a lot more. And so they've drawn up a wonderful program for him. He's cooperated with them, and he'll be going along to the Bristol Baptist College, and he'll be studying Baptist history, and we'll be studying theology, and all sorts of things for 2 years to come. And we'll benefit from that, although in the short term, I'm afraid he won't be available quite as much. But it illustrates what a lot of knowledge we all need to get. We really need to study this word. And that is really what the Apollos way is. First and foremost, Apollos came from Alexandria. And Alexandria was a place of learning. We know now that they had a terrific library, which is quite a thing in those days to have all those books available. A real place of learning, thanks to the Greeks, basically. And as a result, he knew the Old Testament. Perhaps at times, some of you might feel, well, and I sympathise with you, we find the Old Testament rather a struggle at times. There's some wonderful parts in it. Think of the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's some beautiful parts, but we do need to get to know the Old Testament better, and we'll see one of the ways that we can do that. But he only knew the baptism of John. Let me encourage you to take a copy of the notes. I'm sorry, my computer has been causing me problems and I've had to use a different computer. And as a result, the template that I always use for the notes hasn't come out quite right. I didn't notice it till I was running the copy of it. But at least that's still legible. But I apologise for that, for the notes. But let me encourage you to have a copy of the notes and allow God to speak to you. And if possible, and of course a good place is the life groups, but I know we're coming to the end of the life groups, but let me encourage you to study in the life groups and benefit from helping each other. The baptism of John, as I looked through to see what the baptism of John, it's amazing what is covered by John. Let me just quickly remind you, they'd had no prophet for 400 years, and now John, and Jesus said he was the best person born amongst men. He was a great prophet. The message that he said was, repent, confess your sins, for the kingdom of God is near. And notice that that was part of the message of Jesus. When Jesus came, he said, repent. And when the apostles started preaching, they said, repent. So that's certainly something that carries on right through. We need to repent. And you may remember that John, when the Pharisees and others came to him, he said, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. No good just saying it. Do something about it. There's got to be action as well as belief. We know that John taught his disciples to pray. Because you remember the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. That's your starting point. Really pray about it. And if you want, if you feel led, there'll be Doug and Leslie available and others after the service that will be happy to pray with you. It's better to have prayer together than on your own. But the devil would much rather we prayed on our own than together with somebody else. And he'd much rather we didn't pray at all, if that's possible. And he tries to stop us. But let's pray together. John also said that the Messiah, when he comes, I baptize you with water, but he'll baptize you with fire. Something so much better. He said he's not the Messiah. He spoke of Jesus as the Lamb of God. So he knew that when the Messiah came, because in speaking of the Lamb of God, he was speaking of the sacrificial Lamb. And Jesus gave his life that we might be forgiven. Jesus himself gave wonderful testimony of John. Eventually, sad to say, John's faith wavered. But it does encourage us. God's word tells us not only the good things, but the failings of people. And when you fail, just remember, God understands. As long as you're ready to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I recognize I've got it wrong. God says, I'll forgive you. I want you to come back. I want you to repent and give you a new start. So Aquila and Priscilla, we're told, somebody else, were able to tell him of the more perfect way. What was the more perfect way? Well, the more perfect way was that Jesus is the key. When you read the Old Testament, the way that you get to understand it is saying, how does this tell me about Jesus and his salvation? And so you see the prophet, and Jesus was a great prophet. You see the priest, and Jesus is our great high priest. You see the kings in the Old Testament, and Jesus is King David's greatest son. You see them talk about shepherds, and Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. There are these types, as we call them, that you find in the Old Testament, and that's the key that helps us to understand. And of course, particularly, that the Messiah had to suffer, because the people, they hadn't noticed the things in the Old Testament that spoke of the suffering Messiah, or they couldn't understand it. So they were concentrating on this Messiah that would bring deliverance, and therefore they couldn't understand how Jesus could actually be crucified and die. And so the more perfect way explains that. And of course, the more perfect way, I see the time's running on, but the more perfect way is that the Messiah has come and he's done what was necessary by giving his life for us, but he didn't just die, he rose again, not only back to this earth, but he went to heaven. But the good news is he's coming back again, and one day we shall all be with him in his kingdom. So what can we say in conclusion? First, I want to ask you the question, because it's very important. We have a spiritual soul that needs food even more so than our physical body. And we need to feed on God's word every day. If you don't feed on God's word every day, you're not as strong as you should be. And if you're too busy to feed on God's word, you're too busy. God says, seek first my kingdom, and all these other things that you're worried about will be added to you. Do I allow others to help me? I was looking through my database of the books I've got in my library, and I saw that altogether there's just over 2,000 different authors that I don't know that I've read every book, but I've certainly dipped into them. And when I look back, right from when I was a child to Sunday school teachers, and the Sunday school teachers didn't always get it right, but they were faithful in bringing God's word. I couldn't help but smile. I was remembering as a young man, I was about 15, and I'd only just started wearing long trousers. And in those days, you were really well off if you had trousers with turnips, because the utility regulations during the war had said we can't waste anything on turnips. So everybody had to give up the turnips and have straight trousers. And there I am, very proud of my long trousers with turnips. And we're talking about the plagues in Egypt. And the young man, who was not much older than me, he said, all the dust was turned into lice. Just think of that. He said, in the turnips of their trousers, instead of the dust that's there, there would be lice crawling. Now, you probably realise, although I didn't at the time, that they actually didn't wear trousers with turnips in Egyptian times. They probably wore a skirt. But I use that as an illustration that sticks with me to this day, more than 70 years afterwards, that as long as the desire was there, these people that taught me, even as a child, they didn't always get it right. But so often, as we saw from the example of the Thai rescue, we can learn by mistakes as well. So let's allow others to help us. And do I work with and encourage others? Let's work together to save the lost. So what do you make of the Apollos way? Well, here's my suggestion, but you can work on it for yourselves. All of us must work together using all means at all times to save all that we can. And I hope we'll be doing that for God's glory. And in that day, we shall each one hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And we shall enter into the rest he's prepared for us. Amen.